Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for April 19th, 2022. It's 10:34 a.m. We'll call this meeting to order. As always, we'll begin our meeting with an invocation led by Commissioner Alford, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Pierce, if you feel led to rise.
And if you feel led to bow your heads, please do. Lord, we come before you one more time, asking that you get a divine wisdom with each and every member of this court, but not just us, every elected official in Jefferson County. And I mean in Jefferson County. Lord, we ask that you protect our troops, protect our loved ones, and most important, Lord, protect our employees and help them to weather all the storms that come before us. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join with the pledge of our great nation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today with items under purchasing. Item A will be tabled pending a closed session with the Commissioner's Court next week. Item B is to consider and approve, execute, receive, and file the task order number 3 for a request for proposals for FEMA grant management and insurance advisory services for Jefferson County with Tidal Basin Government Consulting LLC to respond to FEMA determination memo for DR 4586TX for the winter storm 2021 for an amount not to exceed $10,000 pursuant to Chapter 262 of the Texas Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and 2 Code of Federal Regulations, Sections 200.318 through 326. Do I have a motion on that item B?
So
moved. Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion?
Just a question. I guess it would be on the B. What if they exceed the $10,000? What would we do? Come back and pull court for change order?
Yes, we would bring it back for your approval.
Yeah. Hopefully we won't. This should be well under $10,000. I was hoping to get it cut back. A little background on this. We're asking them for assistance with the appeal on this determination that came out of our project worksheets we submitted for the winter storm. In past storms and past events, let's say, our emergency closure policy is those that are essential personnel are paid 1.5 times their hourly rate because they're required to stay starting at hour 1 and then overtime, you know, in addition to that. So what we normally bill FEMA is that halftime premium for those first 40 hours and then all the overtime at the calculated rate. For some reason, whoever looked at it determined that any of that time paid for the first 40 hours was the county's responsibility, including the halftime premium. So it's different from how they've treated it in the past. So basically what we're doing, getting Tidal Basin to do is, you know, pull that history together, help us with the format of the appeal, and say you've consistently paid it this way. There's been no changes in the FEMA guidelines about it. They're just going that FEMA only pays for overtime work, and they're considering this normal pay, and it's not normal pay. It's extraordinary pay during those circumstances. So that's kind of the background. We're a little and it's, you know, for this storm, it is significant, but not like it would be if we had a longer disaster, you know, such as we've had in the past. It's a significant amount of money as our payroll and that halftime premium. So we want to make sure we understand the guidelines and the precedence that's being set right now. So yeah, we bill FEMA for the overtime and we bill FEMA for the halftime for the first 40 hours. Because that normal 40 hours just hits your budget. Yeah. So we weren't asking them to pay that, but this is they treated this one different than all the other past, I think, beginning with Rita.
Right.
Probably since we've had emergency closure policy. Rita, we've always turned in this money and been reimbursed. So.
Okay, any other discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, we have four items. Item A is consider and approve a budget transfer for Beaumont Maintenance for replacement of the West Elevator Power Unit in the amount of $11,000. Item B is consider and approve a budget amendment for Port Arthur Maintenance for additional costs for the elevator rehab in the amount of $25,000. Item C is consider and approve electronic disbursement for $1,249.64. to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for the April insurance reimbursement. And item D is regular county bills, check numbers 494-200 through 494-455. Do I have a motion on those items under audit?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Bush, seconded by Commissioner Pierce. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Clerk, we have one item to consider and possibly approve the appointment of the Central Counting Station Early Voting Ballot Board personnel for the May 7, 2022 Constitutional Amendment Joint and Special Election to include the Central Counting Station Manager Wayne Ozio, Tabulation Supervisor Jeff Ross, Assistant Tabulation Supervisors Mary Helm, Todd Frederick, and Mike Bain, Presiding CCS Judge Clifton Simoneau, Alternate CCS Judge John Stafford, and Early Voting Ballot Board Judge Dinah Carr. Do you have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Been moved.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Soil and Water Stewardship Week. Item B is consider possibly approve and receive and file a second amended order prohibiting the possession of firearms in Jefferson County Courthouse and Office Buildings pursuant to Section 30.05 of the Texas Penal Code. Item C is consider possibly approve and authorize the county to execute, receive, and file a demolition waiver for the City of Port Arthur for unsafe building located at 2821 6th Street in Port Arthur, Texas. Item D is consider possibly approve and authorize the county to execute, receive, and file a demolition waiver to the City of Port Arthur for an unsafe building located at 7007 Olympic Drive in Port Arthur, Texas. Item E is consider possibly approve and authorize the county to execute, receive, and file it. No, that's going to be tabled, item E, until next week. And item F is to consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County Precinct 3 and City of Port Arthur for repairs for North and South Levy Roads of Pleasure Island. And that will be an amended agreement with an interlineation in handwriting and pen for the approval of the City of Port Arthur City Council. Do I have a motion on items A through D and F?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Treasurer, we have one item to receive and file the investment schedule for March 2022, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under Engineering Department, we have three items. Item A is to execute, receive, and file a renewal of pipeline permit 02-P-22 to Targa NGL Pipeline Company for maintaining pipeline at the intersection of Tram Road and State Highway 105, located in Precinct 1. Item B is to execute, receive, and file a utility permit 06-U-22 to Center Point Energy Resources for the purpose of constructing, maintaining, and or repairing a utility or common carrier pipeline for distribution of natural gas along South Pine Island Road and Brooks Road, located in Precincts 1 and 4. And item C is consider, approve, ratify, receive, and file the air products release form for air products material cost expenses for the Erie Street restoration per 02-OW-21 and road use agreement located in Precinct 4 as of March 29, 2022. Do I have a motion on those items under engineering?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford. Seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
No discussion, just a question. I want to make sure that, Michelle, if you don't mind, get the we had emails to go back and forth between myself, Natalie, and I think Derek with Ernest in reference to that center point line and the citizens on Brooks Road, making sure they have access to it. Let us know if they could tap in when appropriate. We haven't gotten an answer back from that because it came back from the contract, and I don't think that's the appropriate one. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And that completes our regular, rather short agenda today. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Kerry Erickson up to introduce a new member of the team.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. It's a great pleasure. I introduce to you Mr. Don Perez. He comes to us from the South Texas area. He's got over 30 years of experience in workers' comp, safety, benefits, the various and sundry things that we do. He'll be our new risk and insurance manager, and he will be contacting each of you individually, especially in the precincts, in the sheriff's department, all of our larger departments, but eventually make his way around the county and see what your needs are, see what your concerns are, and go from there. Don, you want to say anything?
Judge, Commissioners, it's good to be here. Totally excited. I've been was stationed in Houston for about 9 years when I was with the Texas Department of Insurance. So I'm very familiar with this area. I'm familiar about storms, hurricanes, just about everything. So my goal is to utilize insurance funds instead of county funds and try to increase the reserves in the workers' comp and property and also on the health insurance. So it's going to take a while. I think the program will probably take about a year and a half. But this first few weeks, we plan to meet with every department head and see if we can resolve some solutions and see what we can do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Judge.
Thank you, and welcome aboard. And very important position to many of our employees who have questions related to health insurance benefits, and so we will appreciate the expertise that you bring to that position, and I'm certain you're going to stay very busy. All right, now is our time of public comment. If you're online, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your line. If you're present in the courtroom, you can come up to the lectern and introduce yourself. Ms. Leister.
Hello. I wanted to take just some time here to bring you all to a level where we are on this research for our new election equipment. And Aaron Kelly from our office is here also, and if you want to come up too. I wanted to let you all know that we're taking this research very seriously. There are two vendors that are approved by the state of Texas, ES&S and HART. And we have met with both the vendors, been on the phone with them several times. We're working this evaluation as a team, our elections department team, along with some people from the clerk's office that have been involved with the election department for many, many years, Haley Fournier and Becky Bertrand. Both of them have been employees in the clerk's office. Becky almost 30 years and Haley almost 20, and they've worked elections all the time every year, so they're also part of the 10-person team that we have making these decisions. So as you all know, we have this $3.2 million grant that we're getting from the state of Texas to purchase the new equipment. The state of Texas, under Senate Bill 1 and other Senate bills that came out in the fall, are requiring each county to go to a paper-based ballot system. And just a very brief explanation of how this system works with both of these vendors is that a voter will go to a machine, select who they want to vote for. A paper a paper ballot will be printed out that shows a summary of who they voted for, and then they walk this paper ballot over to a scanner, and they drop the paper ballot into this machine, scanning machine, that scans their vote, and then the paper ballot drops out into a bag or a box under the scanner, and the voter has voted and walks away. So both vendors have similar systems. They're different in some ways, very similar in other ways. So they're basically the same. There's a little bit of a difference between them on their storage ability, how heavy the equipment is, how the ballot is printed out, what type of paper. That varies between vendor, and that's the things that we're considering. We have staff down at the election barn that maintains our equipment, so they're very much involved with this because they store the equipment and they maintain it, and there are a little bit of difference between the two vendors on those aspects. So that's something that we're taking into consideration also, which is why this team effort is so important. I'm hearing comments from them about, well, this new equipment, though it's less of a process, is bigger. You know, it's heavier for the poll worker to carry. What are we going to store it in? What if we need more room? And those types of things. So, but just want you all to know that that's all going to be part of our consideration. We would like very much to have a workshop on this with you all soon, probably after the May 24th election. We're anticipating that we would probably have each vendor come and make a presentation to you all. One vendor speaks, leaves, the other vendor comes forward. I mean, this is just what I would assume would happen. And then we could come to the microphone and kind of make a recommendation to you all, evaluate why we're recommending a certain vendor over another, and then you all vote on it at a certain time in the future. There's some other little nuances on this that I just wanted to bring to your attention. One thing that we've been thinking of and would like kind of for you all to mull this over, it's sort of a dual system. Each of these vendors has, as I described, the system that the voter goes to and votes on an electric screen. But there are also some counties that are doing that plus just a pure paper ballot system. For instance, the voter would go check in like every voter does, and then they would get a ballot printed on a printer, and they have a paper ballot, and then they go to a ballot marking station and they hand mark their ballot, then take it to the scanner, same scanner, drop it in the scanner, and the ballot falls into the bucket and the vote is counted and the voter walks away. There are a number of counties that are starting this kind of a dual system, and it's intriguing to us. Of course, it's less expensive. We'll be purchasing less equipment, but the annual maintenance costs and the annual fee that we pay to these vendors would be significantly less also. We have many options to do this dual system that we're thinking about, or it's intriguing to us. We'd like to have more of a thought process on it. We're calling counties that have this type of system, and we're in the process of asking them how good this works. What is the storage like? Do your voters like it? We think it might be quicker, and you know, really on the curbside voting person, to have a paper ballot taken out to them for them to hand mark would be much simpler than us taking out a machine and a printer to them and having that be the way we service our curbside voters. It would be the same size ballot that the mail ballots are. It's a easy to read ballot. On both of these companies, when you vote electronically and the paper ballot is generated, you know, you go up to the screen and you punch in on the screen, select on the screen who you want to vote for. The paper ballot that comes out is just who you voted for, and you know, they're different sizes. We can select different size fonts, but still sometimes they can be hard to read. So there are just some things like that that we're trying to take into consideration, thinking of our voters first. And it would be easy to store. You would have less equipment. Each, if we did this dual process with paper and machines, the machines would all be handicap accessible. They would have the earphones and the braille and everything, so it would service those voters. But we could, and a voter could choose. They could say, I want a machine, I'm used to it, I want a machine, and they can go to the same booth and vote electronically, or they could say, I would rather have a paper ballot, and then they could go vote by paper. So it's just something that we're thinking about, and over the weeks ahead, as we get into more detail about this, I may come and speak with you again or see if you have any questions or anything like that.
No questions, but I'll go after you, Commissioner.
When you get a chance to, when you get ready to make the presentation, tell us how much more equipment, I think about the delivery of the stuff that we have to do. Do we have big enough trucks, or are they going to be bigger or smaller?
Yes, and that's part of the size and the dimensions, because some of these carriers are a little bit wider and we're worried about them fitting on a lift, because right now they're a little bit narrower and they fit on the lift. We may need, oddly, with this new equipment, we'll have more of these storage compartments on maybe than we do now. I mean, there aren't, but if we go to this dual idea, we won't have that problem. We won't have as many machines to carry, because the lack of a truck, it's too bad we can't get the truck in this estimate, but because we would very much like to have some kind of a truck with a lift.
Again. My question would be, and I understand you said you have this team. The last time and the time I sit here that we did this, and I think it's very important for your team to think about this. We serve the citizens of Jefferson County, and as visual impaired, there are people in wheelchairs, there are people with multitude of things. I think we as a court need to make sure we have an opportunity for those individuals to come in, and elderly, to come in and give us their opinion. Because we're going to, I know you said $3.2 million. I hope that that's all we have to pay, but I doubt that. So we're going to have to make a decision up here of how much money go into it. And I always like to caution myself on the side of the citizens.
Well, please have no fear that is our motivation as well. And right now, every election location has a handicap booth. And what we're talking about in this dual system is having the only booths that we will purchase are the handicap booths for wheelchair accessibility, braille and earphones, but a non-handicapped person can also vote at that on that booth. So that would be great. Our bid so far, even if we did not do the dual idea of booths and paper, all of our bids are coming within the money allocated. Of course, if we do the dual program, we could purchase paper because, as you know, these vendors are requiring us to purchase paper through them and toner and that type of thing. Not necessarily now, but we could add those to this bid that would be covered in the grant. But if we go to this dual that we're describing, our initial preliminary estimates from the vendors are considerably lower than $3.2
million. And I'm not saying, this is what I'm saying, that those individuals that meet those different criteria get a chance to touch and feel, because that's kind of how the court leaned, with those people touching and feeling what made them most comfortable in being able to vote.
Well, that's fine. That's true. We have a handicap systems now, so I understand, and I'm sure that will be a possibility. So,
Ms. Leister, did your compadre want to say?
Yes, please, Aaron.
I just wanted to say that what we've seen from both vendors both ES&S and Hart.
A little bit closer.
Oh, sorry. What we've seen from both vendors, both ES&S and Hart, are a fantastic improvement in technology over where we're at now. So wherever we land, I know that, and even with the dual option, or if the decision of the court is to go all machines, we're going to be in a much better place for our voters.
Thank you. And Ms. Leeser, I want to thank you and your team for your extraordinary due diligence and for doing a deep dive on this. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to hearing the presentations. I'm sure I don't have all my questions answered, but I know that you're going to bring them in so that we can hear a lot more about it and make a good decision once we hear your recommendations.
Thank you.
Will they be bringing machines in with it when they come to the presentation?
We will certainly request that they do that.
Okay. Any other comment? Mr. White?
So about 2.5 years ago, we started planning for the Disaster Expo. Due to COVID, it got postponed 2 years in a row. But I'm happy to announce this Saturday, we are having the Disaster Expo. We have a great lineup of speakers and presenters, as well as lots of equipment for the public to come and look at. Free food, there's booths from all the responding agencies, from federal down to state to local responders. Pretty much be able to answer any question somebody can come up with at the expo. So I just wanted to announce that. And
on Saturday from 10 to 4, lots of activities for the children and a lot of great information about the National Flood Insurance Program, the Texas Windstorm Insurance Program. Greg Bostwick is going to be our MC, and we're going to have some information about evacuation, sheltered in place. We'll have Sushil Kimar from the Small Business Administration, and want to urge everybody who's interested in that to come on out, because we have the dubious distinction in Jefferson County of having, and in Southeast Texas, this is something that we're co-sponsoring with Orange, Jasper, and Hardin counties, and we have the dubious distinction of having had more disaster declarations than any other state of Texas, and we want our citizens to be prepared. Speaking of which, Thursday morning very early, I got a call quickly was on the line with Mr. White and contacted TxDOT and DPS and KCS and TCEQ. The call I got was from an individual at Nat Gasoline about their gas alarms going off, and turns out that an Air Liquide pipeline running immediately adjacent to their North Twin City facilities was leaking a lot of hydrogen. We had to stop the trains. We had to close down the highway. And at the end of the day, gentlemen in Suburban ran through a gate, attempted to steal some bonnets off the top of the pipeline. The FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force are investigating. Had another discussion with Nat Gasoline last night, and interestingly enough, the same individual showed up again the following 2 days. It's been reported to the FBI, but it was in the wee hours of the morning, and they haven't yet. Well, I won't say anything else about the investigation into the incident.
There was no mistaking it had been tampered with, that he was...
Yeah, I mean, started unbolting the bolts, and all of a sudden hydrogen started coming out, and the individual scooted, then came back and stole some gauges off of the facilities, but apparently not just at this Air Liquide facility, but at Air Liquide facilities in Port Arthur and Lake Charles. And thank you to TxDOT, TCEQ, you, Mr. White, and others who our sheriff's department, everybody who responded to this incident, Beaumont Hazmat.
Sheriff's Department, there were a lot of instrumental people. Texas DPS was big in shutting the highway down, which we never like to do that if we don't have to.
Yeah. All right, any other public comment? It's Grace.
Good morning, Beaumontians and Southeast Texans, to the commissioners. I was listening to Lori's presentation on the upcoming venture with the new voting machines. And I've been studying it and researching it with our team as well. I've been talking to other counties that, such as Harris County, who have started using this system. And I'm really perplexed, and I look forward to the day that what we learn from COVID-19, that global pandemic, something that we learned that we could do unequivocally, is everything on our telephones. My 85-year-old mother goes to the doctor online. She pays her bills online. We pay our bills online. We spent almost 2 years working from home online. Whenever there's a deposit made into my account, I get a ding to let me know whenever there's a transaction. When I go online to review my account, I have to be sent a code to verify that it is me. And with this SB1 bill, it has complicated the whole voting process from our perspective. And I would like to challenge our leaders in the future to think of more simplified ways. I love the automation part of this process, but to automate it, then get a piece of paper to walk across the way, to input it, to go into another bracket, to go somewhere else, that's complicated. And so I just wanted to be on the record today that there are more simplified ways to care for our visitors. I love the mission on the county clerk's website that talks about we're customer service. We're here to give everyone a really pleasurable experience. So I just want to say today publicly that I look forward to the day that we can register to vote online, we can vote online and eliminate all the complicated processes that we continually see when we are allegedly improving the voting system. The greatest voter fraud of all times is voter suppression. And if we are not doing things to make that system less complicated, shame on us. I look forward to hearing more with you, Lori and Aaron, about this process. It sounds complicated. I just wanted to say that. I don't know if I'm alone or not. I don't need anyone to rally with me to validate that. But what I do want the voters to know is that there is a voice out there that continually fights for their rights to vote in a simplified but secure manner. Thank you.
Any other public comment? All right. Hearing nothing, thank you all so very much for being here today. We are adjourned.